Father God, may it not be my words, but your words. May faith not be built on what I say, but may our faith be built on your Holy Spirit and your power in our midst. Please come and speak to us. Please come and just rock our worlds, Father God. Thank you, Lord, that you usher us into an eternal life. You've brought a kingdom to this world that is truly God's kingdom here on earth. And we'd like to see that, Lord. We'd like to live that and we'd like to experience that. But I do believe that with that also comes a cost for which you anoint us. Please just reveal your heart today for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Who connected with the Lord now in time of worship? For who did the Lord give word or speak to? It's not mocking. It's not right and wrong. It's not a performance exercise. It's a balance sheet, an audit of authenticity. And I think as a church, we should always keep on doing that. And the things that we do, don't just do them for due sake, but that we truly get changed. Anyway, to today's message, something totally different. Edna shared 2 weeks ago on community, and God has laid community on our hearts for quite a while, and especially on Edna's heart. So I'm to a big degree piggybacking on the revelation that God's given her and the stuff that she's brought through the Word 2 weeks ago. But in that, I believe, is a very, very essential truth. Can't say it's a revelation as much as it's a truth that we need to behold as a church community. Now, we've spoken about love for a number of weeks, and I believe we're not going on to a next sermon series as much as it's just a flowing from what God has been speaking to us about love. And Edna asked us how an authentic community should look like. We live in a world where everything is about me, myself, and I. And there's a lot of individualism out there. And there's a lot of stuff out there in ideas and theologies and mindsets saying that, hey man, it's all about me and my rights and the things I do. But like most laws in life and things of life, is that everything that you do, every act in your life is a consequence, and that consequence is not only for yourself, but it is for the people around you. Every single thing you do has a consequence. Firstly for yourself spiritually, and many a times physically as well. But it has a consequence for your neighbors and for those around you. Albeit if it's in work or socially or in a rugby team or wherever it might be, there's always a consequence. Now, Edna asked the question, and I'm just going to recap quickly because I want us all to be on the same page. Why community? Why community? And there was three things. And the first one is quite easy for those who say that they follow Jesus, is that Jesus said so. Jesus said that community is important to God. Hence, we are seeking community with one another. John 13:35 says the following: by this all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's not about our signage. It's not about the way we set up church. It's not about the fussy bumper sticker. It's not about my Facebook status. It is not about, and I love miracle signs and wonders, and I'm all for it, and I'm all for tongues, and I'm all for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in and through our lives. But it's even not all of that that Christ himself said will be something that people will know you from. But it is the character fruit of love, the Holy Spirit fruit of love. By this the world will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. The second reason for community is the whole world is watching. So it joins with the first one. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20 says, So we are Christ's ambassadors, and the following sentence, it's not up there, sorry, but the following sentence is quite essential. God is making his appeal through us. If you look at the global church of Christ, we're God's plan A. And as David Platt would have it and say, and he has no plan B. The church globally, if you criticize it or you think this or think that about it, that doesn't matter. The church globally, not our denomination, by the way, the church globally, and I'm not even going to put a definition to that, but the church globally is God's vehicle for making appeal to let the world see his goodness and see who he is. And we probably have a bit of work to do, but let's not worry too much about that today. Authentic Christian community draws the world back to the love of God. And then thirdly, we grow. There's a very nice article. You can go to the next slide if you don't mind. Very nice article, and this was a snippet that Edna got out of there and put to us. And I love this. And if you just look around you, not all of us look the same. Not all of us have the same racial background, language, culture, etc. We are fairly different. But I like what the writer here wrote. The Spirit of God has been sent to create unity out of diversity, peace out of conflict, and healing out of wounded hearts. The greatest spiritual growth will come from overcoming differences, and the greatest testimony of God's supernatural work in Christian community will be the love and unity that results from taking the long, hard road of true community. I wanted to mention it later, but let me quickly do it now. I was at Varsity for 5 years. I had to be four, but I was there for 5 years. It is a renbaan, as they say. So I took my time in studying my degree. And I had a couple of buddies. In my second year, I lost my father. And so most of you know that. And so what I thought was a well-established life and lifestyle was actually a house built on sand. And so the wheels came off spectacularly. So I won't be boring you about the nitty-gritty and the dirty and the stuff of student life, but it was as bad as it could get after that. After I lost my father, I just lost track of everything. So it was partying hard, which actually sounds nice if I say it, but wasn't that nice. And living an ungodly lifestyle like you have no idea. But it also came with a place of having no peace whatsoever, no stability, no love, and no truth. So I was constantly anxious when I wake up, and then we'll just try to party or just put some facade on just to get through the day and change all of that just to do the same thing the next day. Now, long story short, like the proverbial prodigal son, I ended up in the pigsty, and I would have literally lost my life if it wasn't for God intervening. I met Edna, you know a bit of that story, and I gave my life to the Lord. So I started to walk this new life, and things was just very strange. So I had a couple of friends, a couple of good friends from Varsity, like very close, and I had this fear of losing them. Because in my eyes, they were really the cool guys. I thought they were quite cool. And I so just did not want to lose all of that. And as I said, long story short, but God had laid on my heart to get baptized. And I kept on getting Matthew 3. When I just close my eyes, just spend time with the Lord, and I'm learning all of this weird stuff. I just think of Matthew 3, and I go read it, and it's about Christ's baptism. And I just said to Edna one day, ek dink ek moet gedoop word. And so it's like, duh, I've been thinking it for a couple of months. And anyway, she arranges some setup. She probably had it planned before. And she's, I know a guy, he stays out in Clifton. I can organize something. You just come through from Stellenbosch. I'm like, okay, cool, Clifton, that look cool. Must be a cool guy. Rock up at this mansion of a place. And I walk up the stairs. Well, I picked up Edna. We walk up there. And here comes out this weird-looking guy. And he's got a bokbaardjie. Who's got a bokbaardjie here? Bikkie. And at that stage, I didn't think a bok barkie was too cool. I was like, B is really weird. Oh. And this mansion actually belonged to his parents, and he was staying with his parents. So now you've got this weird-looking guy living with his parents with a bok barkie, and I'm just like, Lord, what is this, a trap? And he's got some other guys that just spit out these Christianese of awesome and great and amazing, and I'm just like, what are they on? Let bok barkies, he stays with his mother, and they speak this Christian language that I don't understand. And I need to get into this pool. That is just so weird. Now, the reason I tell you this weird story is that years later, he told me that the day I rocked up, now he's very prophetic, so he picked up in the spirit what was going on around me, and he's like, he said to God in his heart, "Die ou gaan dit nie maak nie." He thinks he's too cool. He's definitely not going to make it. And he was just, so he had a judgment in his heart, meeting me in his parents' house with his bok barkie. And I came in and I thought, like, what a weird ou. And he was just, so we had both this judgment in our hearts. I said long story short now for the fourth time, but it's not that short. But at the end of the day, he baptized me, they prayed for me, God just rocked my world. We didn't become friends all of a sudden. We didn't love each other. I didn't quickly start to, and by the way, bless everybody with bok barkies. I've come over that and it's all good. I mean, he drove an old Toyota Corolla. They called it the anti-lust mobile because no girl whatsoever will look their way if they drove past in that Corolla. So that was just to top it all off. And we both had this judgment in our hearts about the one thinking the other is just not on or just not cool or whatever. But slowly but surely, God started to work in my life and change my heart and change my attitude and the way I see things. And he lost a beard. He grew another one, but that's not the point of the story. But I think about 4 years after that, that weird guy that I saw baptizing me and speaking in tongues, living with his parents, was the best man at my wedding. And to this day, I can truly say he's one of my best friends. He is he's absolutely a brother to me. And is he still weird? Absolutely. In fact, I think he's more weirder than when I met him at first. But luckily, I'm quite weird myself these days sometimes, or you can ask my wife. But I've not become like him. He still doesn't watch rugby. What's up with that? Friends of them, they were having a Brian. We got whipped by Japan and he didn't notice. So he's still weird. But we're brothers. There was a new glue that God was busy performing and it did not happen quickly. It was a hard, long road for me to walk a road of brothership or community with this guy. He was the best friend of my wedding. All my old friends from varsity were like, who's this guy? He never partied with us. We never saw him. He wasn't even on Stellenbosch. How can he be your best man? But God had done something in my heart. And there was an eternal value. There was a friendship, a brotherhood that grew from that, that to this day I'm thankful for. To get back to community. Community doesn't always make sense. God brings authentic community out of diversity. He can take the weirdest two people next to one another, but if one thing is the common denominator between us, and that is Christ Jesus, all things are possible. And we spend a lot of time together. He's my accountability partner to the day. He discipled me for a couple of years, and I can truly call him brother. And I can share a lot of testimonies of the things that he's done in my life that is really awesome, but I don't want to put him too much in the spotlight. So Edna said, true community, I told you my testimony that God can do this miracle, but he needs to do that. And last week, and I just want to link that quickly, when Johan shared to us about the secret of Christianity. And what is that? In my own words, it would be Christ in me. Christ through me is the only way in which we can do Christianity. Without him, it's impossible. What is the secret to Christian life? It's Jesus, and Jesus in me. So I'm going to link the two today. I'm just quickly going to connect the dots. One is, God is a God of community. He's not a God of an island. No man is an island. Edna actually had a poem. I don't do poems, but no man is an island. And then secondly, Omyan said, the secret to to Christianity, true Christianity, is Christ in me. So we're going to connect the two dots today. Let's look at community. There's a very pretty wall. If you drive, I took my father-in-law to one or two wine farms. We took them out this last couple of weeks when they were here. And there's beautiful places in some of the old farms. There's these stone walls put together by wall masons. Let me not make a joke now. About these guys that put these walls together, and they're really amazing to look at. But I think if you're busy doing it, it's not the easiest of tasks. But who enjoys an old wall? Etna, you've been to Scotland. She likes a van 'n ou muur. And that takes a while. But there's something that puts that all together. In this case, a wall or a building mason that knocks these rocks into shape and puts them there painstakingly long. He perseveres forever. And then after a couple of millennia, at last, it is done. I think the moss, het al begin groei aan die een punt, totdat hy die ander een klaar kry van hierdie ou muur. But it looks amazing. But I believe this is a prophetic picture about church. Not only our church, the bigger church, but the church of God. God builds. And if you look at those stones, they're not all the same shape and size. Now let's not compare our shapes and sizes, or our colors, or our hair, or the lack thereof. Let's not get into that, but we're not all exactly the same. We're much like that wall there on the top. We've got some big boulders, big rocks, and we've got some tiny ones, but each one gets his fit. Each one fits in. And how is that possible? I said we're going to look at one or two definitions today, because I believe it's important to note what the word teaches us. Now, the definition of community is the following: a social, religious, occupational, or other group sharing common characteristics. Now, we can quickly think. There's a couple of common characteristics here. Interest and perceived or perceiving itself as distinct in some respect from larger society within which it exists. So, is Shofar Table View a community? Yes, obviously. There's a couple of common characteristics or interests that we share. There's some distinct things that makes us different from other people out there. So it's good to know. But there needs to be a bonding agent. There needs to be a cement. There needs to be something that holds us together. There needs to be this one thing or a couple of things, this common characteristics, maybe I should skip that word for now, that holds us together. And today I just want to focus on that. What is that one thing? That can keep amazing people like us together. What is that? Because I believe that if we know that, and if we remind ourselves constantly of that, the differences, the inequalities, the difference in size, the difference in shape, and the difference of gifting or lack of gifting, or character and lack of character, will not be such a big problem if the bonding agent is there and the revelation of the bonding agent is true. What is the axis? What is in Afrikaans? Die spil waarom het alles draai. What is the one thing around which we all are put together? And it's just quickly the following, and you'll see why I say that. I believe it's the love, truth, and power of the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. This might sound like just mere words, but just meditate on it for a moment. There's a lot that I wanted to say all, most, I like all of you guys. And hopefully most of you guys like me as well. I like Western Province, praise God they won on Friday, and I like the Booker, praise God they won last night. many of you guys also do. You can see that when Philip wears his heart on his sleeve. But the bottom line is, the mere fact that both of us... Are you from Ethiopia? Great. But the mere fact that both of us like Western Province and the Bokke, and the mere fact that he's got an amazing mountain bike and I've got a mountain bike, will not necessarily hold us together. Umyohan said it last week. He said, Christianity is not a natural or a fleshly thing. It is spiritual. You know what? Community, true, authentic Christian community, is again spiritual. It's not a physical thing. So we might be interested in mountain biking. Some of us a bit more than the other. We might both shout our lungs out for the Bokke and Western Province or Viapia. But will that hold us together? The love, the truth, and the power of and the sacrifice, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe, is what holds us together. Let's go look at Matthew 26 briefly. As they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat it. This is my body. Then he took a cup and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood that establishes the new covenant or the covenant. It is shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. If I say communion, what do you think? Nachmal. What else? What is communion to you? Those of you, some of us were brought up traditionally or more traditionally in the religious context. But if I say communion, what do you think of? Reminder of Jesus. What else? There's not trust? I like that. Just physically, what is it? Communion. Wyn en brood. Trust jou om die regheid antwoord vir my te gee wat ek soek. Wyn en brood. Dis wat ons doen. That wasn't the right answer particularly. There's no right answer, but I just want to quickly see what comes up. Anything else? Communion. Boring? Who thinks it's boring? Who thinks it's a religious act or tradition? Come on, man. Wees eerlijk. Thanks, Abby. Hey? Catholic. Oh, it's very Catholic. Is that a New Zealand jersey that you're wearing? Sorry, we just need to... Remember, we've got the bonding agent here, so don't worry. Parliament jersey. Their Parliament jersey. I need to think this through. But let us go on. Abie, it's lekker om jou hier te hê en ek bly jy's veilig terug van jou trip. En ek bly die Bokke het gewen. Did you guys win your match? Oh, congrats. Who did you play against? Which parliament? Australia? Did you beat all of them? Ah, okay, great. Anyway, we'll get back to the jersey later on. Let's get back to communion. Jesus Christ with the Lord's Supper, or we also call it communion or Holy Communion, instituted communion to us that we still have to this day. And we said it's not a mere tradition, and you'll see why now as it unfolds. It's not a mere tradition. It's something supernatural. It's a spiritual act and spiritual declaration as such. You might think, well, okay, Retief, community, communion, how do you link the two? Let's see, because we're going to look at the definitions. I believe authentic Christian community is the following, is that true community is communion. Let's be more weird. Say this after me. True community is communion. Let's do it again. True community is communion. Thanks. True community is communion. More than anything, this is what we share. What holds us together, it is what knits us together. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 16 says the following. The cup of blessing which we bless is not the communion of blood of Christ. Is it not the communion of blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Guys, there's a couple of things that can bond us together. The mere fact that we both like the Springbokke, the mere fact that we shot our hearts out for Western Province, or we like mountain bikes, can be something that holds us together for a season. But it's a flimsy thing to build a trust relationship. It's a flimsy thing to build a community upon. There's not much supernatural power in that. But there can be a guy in the crowd that has a New Zealand jersey on. And there can be a bonding agent called Christ Jesus. A communion, and we're going to look at the definition right now, a communion that brings two hearts together like no jersey can. But we need to trust Christ for that. I had this weird friend with a bokbarki that stayed with his parents that thought that I was a Vinti. We'll never make it as a Christian. Yet there was someone else called Jesus Christ that had a different idea for me and for him. And that, I believe, is a bonding agent between all of us. And needs to stay the bonding agent between all of us. Not the mere fact that I like you, you like me. Or I make stupid jokes or I don't. Or you don't catch them or you do. The mere fact that Christ gave his life, that his blood flows for both of us and we believe it, and he was resurrected so that we can live eternally. That is the bonding agent that will keep us together. Let's look at the definition of communion. And you'll note that there's not much of a difference, or there's a lot of overlapping, if you look at the definition of community and communion. Communion is the following. Holy communion, a group of persons having a common religious faith denomination. So it's quite wide up to here. Interchange or sharing of thoughts or emotions. The act of sharing or holding in common participation. Now, let's not worry too much about that. Point being is there's a lot of resemblance between community and communion. Now, the communion is the one I'd quickly like to look at. And if you go look in well, the Esword dictionary, you'll see that the root word there, the Greek root word that they use in the original transcript, is a Greek word, and I've practiced this so much, but I need to say it again. Koinonia. Let's try to say koinonia. Koinonia. Now, anyway, that's a Greek word, the root word on which communion is based today. And I love this. Let's read that. Partnership, that is participation or social intercourse or pecuniary benefaction, communication, communion, distribution, fellowship. And I like these last two that was in this particular definition. To come into communion or fellowship, to become a sharer, be made a partner. To enter into fellowship, join oneself as an associate, make oneself a sharer or partner. So Christ comes with the supper and he says, this is my body, this is my blood. He's in fact saying, this I institute because it is a picture of me laying down my life so that everybody can live. He institutes communion. He calls it communion. And in that communion, he calls us to what? To partake in this. We're going to look at that scripture now. To partake in that, to remind ourselves of that each time that we get together. And this communion is also something that calls us into partnership, calls us into fellowship with him and with each other. How can you, in other words, say Christian and not be linked? And I'm not saying being a member of a church per se. I'm not saying... Let me be careful around this at this stage. But I'm not saying jumping through human hoops. I'm saying it's a spiritual truth based on faith. It's a spiritual truth based on faith. To come into communion or fellowship, to become a sharer, be made a partner, to enter into fellowship, join oneself as an associate, make oneself a sharer or a partner. Did Christ die for you and you alone? Yes, he did. But did he also die for all of those around you? Yes, he did. Did he bring that revelation and that freedom upon you? Yes, he did. It was an individual thing, but was it for you and you alone? Can it be practiced? Can true Christianity, true koinonia exist? Can the true revelation of Jesus Christ and Him sacrificed and resurrected again live where you are on your own? No, not at all, according to the word, according to the definition of the Greek word, koinonia. Just quickly going to read something for you guys here that I got out of an article. The New Testament authors expressed the essence of Christianity in one word. It is the Greek word koinonia, usually translated as fellowship. It's one of the Christianese words we use, eh? It's awesome. Awesome fellowship. Who's heard that? Awesome fellowship. Okay, anyway. I use Christianese. I don't have a book, Barky, but I use Christianese. Paul reduces the whole Christian vocation to koinonia. So Paul had big reverence for this koinonia fellowship thing. When he writes, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship, koinonia, of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You've all been called. When Christ calls you, he doesn't only call you as an individual. He calls you unto this koinonia. Luke uses the same term to depict the life of the first Christians. And you'll notice this in Acts 2. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, koinonia, and the breaking of bread and prayers. So God calls us into this place of koinonia, or this fellowship. Let's look at the scripture before we're going to take communion. Here's a nice basis of why we take communion. You can go to the next slide. Thank you very much. Let's read it quickly together. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he also took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." It's a statement of faith in remembrance of Christ. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What is the one thing that the devil constantly attacks? It's the authenticity of Christ firstly living, and then secondly, and even bigger than that, Christ dying and being resurrected. It gets bombarded, gets attacked daily. What is the thing that we need to keep on proclaiming? Not like parrots, but out of heart, that Christ had died for us. Do we remember that glorious day? Oh, happy day. Or is it something that's just in your religious bank somewhere at the back? Oh, yeah, by the way. Or do we still realize that it has changed eternity for you and for hopefully for your children? Do we remember how big a battle it was? Didn't we sing earlier, the greatest day in history? Do you still remember that this is the greatest day in history? That if we break that bread and we take that cup, if we say we have koinonia, if we have fellowship, that we are speaking, we are reminding, we are having faith, putting our faith out and reminding ourselves and the spiritual realm of the greatest day in history. Is it still the greatest day in history for you? Now, this is not a condemning, condescending type of way of asking, because I need to challenge myself. I can so quickly become stale and bored in doing ministry that I don't get back to the glue. I don't get back to the cement. I don't get back to the basics. I don't get back to the reality of I was baie ver verlore. I had nothing left. And he came with the greatest day in history, and he restored everything unto me. Kan iemand onthou waar ek was? Volgende een, sê my vrou is reg. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy way will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself. Vat stok. in this way, he should eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly evaluating ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are disciplined by the Lord, so that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home. Who did not have their prunitro? Okay, Edna, but you still only have one, all right? Remember to eat your prunitro. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home. So when you gather together, you will not come under judgment. And I will give instructions about the other matters whenever I come. Now the writer here obviously makes it very clear that this is not a mere religious tradition. It's not something we do that we need to think, can the kids do this or can't they? When are we going to finish? When am I going home? When can I get a report list? No, it's not. This is a bold statement of faith concerning what? The greatest day in history. Why do we do communion before we end off? Why do we do communion? You can bring up the next slide, please. When you observe communion, and if you take anything home today, I believe this is the most important. When you observe communion, we show our participation in the body of Christ. His life becomes our life, and we become members of each other. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 16 to 17 says the following, "The cup of blessing that we give thanks for, the cup of blessing that we give thanks for, is it not a sharing of the blood of Christ?" What holds us together, is it not the blood of Christ? Is it to make you like? To make you like? Is it because you tithe? Is it because you come to church? Is it because my sermons are all right? No. Let's read scripture. The cup of blessing that we give thanks for, is it not the sharing in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the sharing in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we are many, are one body. For all of us share that one bread. For all of us share that one bread. The greatest thing that can keep us together, it's not elements. It's a supernatural truth of Christ dying, his blood flowing, and him being resurrected. Not only an historical story, but the power of that in the Spirit by faith. That is what binds us together. Now, when in a moment of difficulty, if I hold up, not a cup and a piece of bread, but if I hold up Christ, who he is, who he was on this earth, if I hold up that truth and that power, that is what binds us. That is what will bind us supernaturally together. Just four other things about why we do communion. Just quickly for volledigheidsondaalde. We observe communion because the Lord told us to do it. So it is a command. You can go read Corinthians 11:24. In observing communion, we are remembering Christ and all that he has done for us in his life, death, and resurrection. So we need to remind ourselves of who he is, because daily we get bombarded by many messages, many info, but we need to sometimes just remind ourselves. When observing communion, we take time to examine ourselves, and we read that, just to come still before him. It's not about eating and being full. If you're thirsty, you're not going to get full with that little bekerkie. But it's not about eating and drinking. It's not about ticking a box and running out of here. It's about saying, oh yes, this is what it's about. It's about, oh yeah, the greatest day in history. In observing communion, we are proclaiming his death until he comes. It is a statement of faith. I believe this is warfare. This is spiritual warfare. There's times in my marriage or in our lives, in our home, where there's a lot of attack or where there's just a spiritual oppression or just, it just feels like chaos. And we'll pray and we'll read Bible and we'll do the stuff that we do, but God will sometimes tell us, take communion. Now, there's no power in drywerstap or in a good fortified wine either. There's no power in that little biscuit or little piece of bread. But there's a massive power in your faith statement. And we've seen massive breakthrough. Like, we'll go through a patch of 3 days where it's just chaos, and then God will just land on our heart, take communion. And we'll pray. We'll first examine ourselves and say, Lord, we've missed it big time. And we'll examine each other to a degree. And we'll pray about it and then take communion. And it's just a supernatural shift. Because why? As Imyon said, communion, like Christianity, is practiced not in the flesh, it's spiritual. Communion taken correctly, taken as the Spirit leads and as the Word has directed us, is a spiritual exercise. It's a spiritual statement of faith. Last slide, please. What puts that wall together? Obviously, God puts it together. What holds it together? I believe it's this. It's that we were once lost. Some of us probably a bit more lost than others. Right? That said that I will give my life as the perfect sacrifice for a thief. I'll give my life as the perfect sacrifice for Petri and Chris and Orphi and all of the rest of us. My body will be broken, not so that you can have Christmas and get nice presents and eat a lot of scarboat, but my body is broken so that you can have eternal life. I will give myself so that you can live. And that revelation, that koinonia, that fellowship that we then partake in, I believe empowers us, not drives us, but helps us to get to what? The secret of authentic Christian community. What is the secret of authentic Christian community? It's like when Johan said, it's just Jesus. The Word says that He's the way, the truth, and the life. Guys, as a community here, some of you might move on, some of you might stay. There's seasons to this. And we're not only, we're a small part of a big wall, we're a small part of a big body. But wherever God sends you and directs you, what will hold you together, what will make you fit, is if you keep this revelation, if you keep this, not the religious practice thereof, but the truth, the power of this, close to your heart. That when I look at Pietri, when I interact with Pietri, in whatever we do in Christian context, that this is the foundation, Christ and Him crucified. I'm going to give a moment that you come and grab yourself some communion, and then we're going to pray. So you can come and grab yourself some communion. One by one. Just take communion. If you don't want to take communion, by all means, you don't have to. Come on, Shiva. There's self-raising flower and there's actually tiny. Gaan dit vir die hond gee. Dis nou eerlik, dankie. as the last guys just take the elements, I just want to start sharing. Let's take a moment and just take stock before the Lord. As the word says that we don't bring judgment upon ourselves. What is this? It's just saying that, Lord, where I've missed it, I just repent. And the Holy Spirit can just remind you in this time just of something. And if there's nothing, then just nothing. But it's just saying, oh yes, Lord, I receive this blood. I receive this truth for where I've missed it. And I take your bread. I take your body that was perfect, the perfect sacrifice. I take that for not having to deal with or pay for my own sins, or for my own shortcomings. So have a moment with the Lord, as the Holy Spirit just puts on your heart. And then, is there anybody amongst us that's got an illness? Willem, jy stap nog 'n bietjie snaaks, kan ons vir jou voet bid? Great, we'll pray for Willem's foot. That for complete healing. Jy hoef nie te sê nie, ons gaan net vir jou bid. Awesome. Anybody else? Cool. Cool. Dankie, Here. So firstly, we've taken stock. We've said, Lord, please come and just check our hearts. Remind us for why we do this. We take that moment of the greatest day in history. We make it our own again. And then, Jesus, you've taken all our iniquities and our illnesses and our diseases. So thank you, Lord. We just lift them up to you, those that are struggling. And we just say thank you. By your stripes, they will be healed. Because a spiritual transfer will happen. So we receive that by faith. Because we remind ourselves of what you've done. There's two other things. So those are the two. There's two other things before we take the communion. One is, this is a proclamation of faith. This is a proclamation of faith. The enemy is out in all ways and all areas of life to refute or try to refute the existence of Christ, and then the fact that he laid down that he was the perfect sacrifice and that he did the biggest deal ever. So what we're doing is we are proclaiming in the spiritual realm this faith statement that Christ lived, that he died for us, forgave our sins, and was raised again. So that's, and then the last thing, and that I believe in, I'm going to end off with this. We're observing this community because we've been called into one body. Not necessarily into a denomination. In the season it entails that for us. But in a bigger body, we are part of a big body. And the only thing that can mend us together and keep us together is the power of this, the power of Christ. So Lord, we're going to ask for these four things, Lord. Thank you for healing, because your blood was shed and your body was broken so that we don't have to break, so that we may receive that healing, so that we don't have to suffer sin's consequences because you've suffered it all. But we need to take that, so we come and take that today, Father. Lord, we boldly come and make a faith statement in this area, in the spiritual realm, and over our lives and our families, that we believe in Christ and him crucified and resurrected. And we don't only believe it as a historical story, but we believe it was for us, each and every one of us personally, for our children, and for each and every person in our church. It's a spiritual statement, a faith statement, that we are a covenant people. We are in covenant with God. There's a covenant that God has with us, and promises that God has for us. And we are his children. And we're proclaiming that in the spiritual realm. Father God, and thank you that we could examine ourselves and say that whatever has come up in prayer now has been forgiven and will be forgiven and washed away. Because Christ, you did that. And lastly, Lord, we ask that, Lord, humanly it's impossible to walk in love and to bind ourselves together if it was not for one who laid down everything, if it was not for his blood and his body that was broken. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's take, as you led, take communion. Thank you, Lord, that Christ in us, the Holy Spirit in us, is the bonding agent, is the love, and is the supernatural power that holds a Springbok and a New Zealand jersey together, Lord. Thank you, God, that you trump the ways of our cultures, you trump the ways of this world, you trump the ways of the flesh, you trump the hurts of the past, you trump all of that by what happened on the greatest day in history. And we thank you, Jesus, for that. We will keep on proclaiming that. And we thank you for restoration in our hearts and in our community where needed. And thank you, God, that you take us to a place of true community, that whatever we do and however we do it with and to one another, we'll always hold this foundational truth, koinonia fellowship truth before us in all we do. Please help us with that. In Jesus' name. Amen.